mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, knowledge is important, isn't it? See, without knowledge, where would we be? Remember in Genesis, what were Adam and Eve forbidden to do? Eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Well, you know, as we look through this kind of stuff, I'm going to focus today on Jesus in the temple because I think it's important. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in these readings, especially the predestination, things like that, but that's a sermon for another time. Well, to try and explain that, let's use me for an example. Now, I know a lot, don't I? Yeah, don't everybody speak to one. But let's see here. I have a Bachelor of Music, a Master of Music, a Doctor of Musical Arts, a Master of Divinity, an Associate Degree in Computer Science. Wait a second, where'd that come from? All of that is 22 years of college after high school. You think once I started, I'd get it right. Do I pull my sermons out of the top of my head? Oh, heck no. But it does help, truly, yeah. Well, I cheat. I had pulled out all the books. I was going to bring them today because I thought, well, it's show and tell. I had a stack of books like this. So I decided not to. Well, first of all, I used the Book of Concord, which is the Book of Theology of the Lutheran Church. Then I use a book called the Lutheran Cyclopedia. In other words, it's an encyclopedia of Lutheranism. I know most of you have never heard of it, but it's something the pastors use. And what it does, if you got a question about something, you can look it up, and it gives you a starting point to understand something. And as a starting point, that's always a good place to start. When I was in Chicago for the convention of the Society of the Holy Trinity, a couple of years ago, I bought a book. Now, it's a Catholic seminary, and this is put out by the Catholic Church. But it's the first 8 centuries of the Church Fathers and what they wrote on subjects of the Church. You know, so if I want to look up something, I'll look up that subject and say, all right, what the Church Fathers said. You know, I quote Church Fathers a lot. Well, where do you think I get it? Okay, is out of that. But it's the thing is doing the research. And then I also use a book, remember I quoted this one just a few weeks ago, it's what Luther says. It's his writings on subjects, about this big too. But there's one book that I really use a lot, and the reason is, it was written by the apostles in about 60 AD. It's called the Didache. In Greek, it means the teachings. Now, we had known about this book because it was referred to a lot in letters of this time period. We didn't have a copy of it. We had excerpts, okay, but not the book. And in the Dead Sea Scrolls, of all things, there was a full copy of the Didache. You know, so now we have the full copy of it. And it goes in and talks about baptism, how we worship. We worship according to what the apostles say. You know, I look at it this way. If the apostles in the first century said, do it this way, guess what? We're going to do it this way. Because I think it's important that way. Well, and then there's always two other sources, the Oxford Dictionary of the English Language, and last but not least is Wikipedia. Okay, yeah, I know it's not the best encyclopedia, but it's free and it's on the computer. And all these other ones you can get on the computer too, so it's nice if I want to add something, I can just highlight and click. Computer is great for doing sermons. Now, I've been a pastor for 7 years and doing sermons. And so, after studying for 7 years, I've learned a lot, too. I mean, it's not like, you know, Pastor Don here, who's been a pastor for 50 years. You know, it takes 50 years to learn 50 years worth of stuff. But the thing is, so we have 25 years of study plus 33 years of teaching church history in the college level. And I have had 7 years as a church pastor. Well, somewhere along the line, you'd think I'd have to learn something, okay? But our gospel message today, I find interesting. If you want to pull it up, I'm going to start in verse 46. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, Why were you looking for me? Do you not know that I must be in my father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Now, one of the verses before this said that Jesus was 12 years old when this happened. All right, so he's in the temple lecturing to the elders and the priests, and they're asking him questions, he's answering, and he's showing a depth of knowledge that is astounding. Well, where did he gain the experience and that knowledge? He's 12 years old. Yeah, I mean, most of us have had kids. If you had a kid that was 12 years old, would you be astounded? I think I would be too. Well, why didn't his parents have an idea of what he knew? Well, it's not like he went to Hebrew school, studied the Midrash. Midrash is the book of theology of Judaism. And it's a very interesting book because as you look at the Midrash, who was the first, Maimonides is probably the first one to write down this stuff. What he did is he took a big page and wrote his idea in the middle of the page. Now, I've talked about this before, where Greek, English, all of our languages are linear. Hebrew is a circular language. And so in the Midrash, the arguments are in a circle. So the first one is here, then the second one, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth. See what I'm doing here? It's the circular arguments. You know, so as you look at this type of thing, there's a lot of men who've gone through this and really looked at this. Well, the language of this time period was Aramaic, which is sort of derivative of Hebrew. And at age 12, Jesus would have done his bar mitzvah at the temple, because he would have been decided to be a man. And usually in a bar mitzvah, what it is you can read Hebrew. Even at this time period, Hebrew was a dead language. It was just used in church. Well, what do we know about Jesus? The Bible tells us, and we assume that he's a carpenter. Well, folks, he's not really a carpenter. Okay, the word that's in Hebrew says that he worked with his hands. We assume that it was being a carpenter. But now stop and think of pictures you see in the Holy Land. Where's the forest that he would have had the wood to work on? A little hard to do a forest in rock, isn't it? Well, at this time period, the city of Capernaum was being built by Herod the Great, and it was 4 miles from Nazareth. And so they didn't need carpenters, they needed stone cutters. Dr. Paul Myers, who is the older son of Walter A. Myers, if you've been Lutheran for a long time, you know the Lutheran hour? Anyway, he has come out and said that Jesus was a... Pardon? Yeah, but he's Walter's son, second generation. Okay, you're talking about Wham 3's uncle. All right, we're on the Wham 2 generation. That's Walter A. Meyer, the first Walter A. Meyer, second Walter A. Meyer, the third. Okay, we call him Wham. But when you look at this kind of thing, well, if Jesus and Joseph were stonecutters, walking 4 miles to work, cutting stone all day, walking 4 miles home, when do you think he had the time to study theology? He didn't. So at 12 years of age, where did Jesus get this knowledge? Yeah, he didn't. Okay? Even though he was in the state of humiliation as a human being, going back to the catechism, humiliation, exaltation, was Jesus still divine and exalted? Yes. Jesus didn't need to study the Word of God. He was the Word of God. The Word of God made flesh. Remember our reading on Christmas Eve from the Gospel of John, beginning of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus didn't have to study the Word of God because He lived it. You know, He blew the minds of the elders and the priests at the temple because He understood and could quote more scripture than any of them could ever hope to know. Why? Because He was the scripture. Now, folks, I just shared my background with you in education. How would I like it if I had a 12-year-old come in here and sit down and lecture me and knew more about what I had studied all these years? Was it something bad? You know, the thing is, it would be very humbling, wouldn't it? And I think that's what we're looking at here. But I think the important message at the end of this passage is for us that after looking for Jesus for 3 days, Mary and Joseph found Him in the temple. And what was said again? Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And He said to them, why were you looking for me? Well, son, you're 12 years old, and I'm your parent, and what I tell you, you do. You ever heard that before? But Jesus said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And they did not understand the saying that He spoke to them. And He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to Him. And His mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Now remember, Mary knew who Jesus was. Because in the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel came and told her that she was going to be the mother of God, the Magnificat. In Greek, this is called the Theotokos. Well, Theo is God, you know, theology, the study of God. Tokos is not mother. Tokos is bearer. So Mary was the bearer of God. He's just fascinated, isn't he? Well, at least he didn't walk out on this part of the terminal. You know, we value Mary as a mother of God. But she's the mother of the living God, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May this reminder of what was said to Mary by Jesus keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the people of God respond with, amen. To God be the glory. Amen.